This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there, Mike. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. It's a nice day, and, you know, we could use more rain, but still, it's a nice day. It's kind of warm. It's not hot.
Nope,
not
at all.
It's pleasant out there. I like it. These are my kind of days. So if you're listening, thank you for listening. And this is a show about ideas and info about what you can do to your landscape, your lawn, your trees, shrubs, how you want to prune them, how you want to fertilize them, water them, and all those kinds of crazy things that so many people don't know. And I can give you the straight scoop because I've got a few years under my belt doing this stuff.
No, you don't. You're a youngin' yet.
I know, but I still got a few years under my belt, man. Anyway, if you have questions, you can call a question in regarding your landscaping or some whatever might be getting you sideways. Your tree won't grow or something like that. 673-4464 is the number. 673-4464. So anyway, before I start my show, I wanted to, you know, we had our big annual sale last week, and I just wanted to thank every person that came in to purchase shrubs and trees. It was a very busy time answering questions and loading hundreds of plants all week long. I mean, it was a long week that way. But on the first morning of the sale, which was last Monday, a week ago last Monday, by 8 a.m., there were 10 pickup trucks with trailers in our parking lot.
Wow.
I mean, they just started pounding. We don't open till 9, but they were there at 8. And I thought, oh, no, we're in trouble. Because my brother and I and one other guy were the only ones there. It usually takes about 6 people to handle everybody.
Sure.
Yeah, and but everyone was friendly and anxious to pick up their shrubs and trees. And like I said, there was like 6 of us helping all day, all week, actually, picking plants and loading them in the trucks and all that. So, again, thank you for coming to our annual October sale. It was great. And I've said this before, we only have one sale every year, and that's mid-October, and it lasts a week. And the plants are going dormant, and they do well when you plant them in the fall. There's no stress to them and that kind of thing. You water them once to kind of settle in the soil after you've planted it. Then you don't have to water it again till April or May. So that's how cool that is. And that's why we do it that time of year, because there's less risk. If you've never planted a tree or a shrub before and it's your first time out, you know, we can fill you in on the information. And it's kind of funny, and this happened a couple times. I was helping some folks, and I says, now, you when you plant that tree, you want to, you know, oversize, overdig the hole, make it larger, and put good potting soil or some kind of a good mix in there. And he said, oh, I know. He says, I listen to your show every week.
Oh, really?
I said, all right, you're my kind of guy. That's
nice.
Cool. But several people said that, and you know, it made me feel good that somebody out there is listening and actually come in and they do what I say. Hey,
there you go.
That's good. But you know, today's I don't know. I wrote probably too many notes here, but
never,
and then probably never. I got to stretch this into 3 shows. But you know, springtime, of course, is a colorful, fresh look at all the blooming shrubs and trees in our yards and, you know, in the parks and all that stuff. And you can't beat spring for the beauty that's in every landscape in all directions. I mean, it's just gorgeous. Everything's fresh. It's blue and good. And I love spring for the color and the new vibrant growth that, you know, that lasts for several months, actually. However, the color of fall is equally as colorful with the fall foliage that we have surrounding us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a drive around, get out of town and look at some of the hills and stuff like that, it's absolutely amazing the color that's out there, especially the maples and the ash trees, things like that. Those are the yellow gold ones you see kind of creeping up all these hills and and everywhere. Yep. I mean, it's very, very, very pretty. And, you can see, gosh, you can see where there are trees with burgundy, orange, and hot red leaves, intermixed in yards and things like that. And the maple trees that we have around here, they range from, like bright yellow, which is like our native maple, to the oranges and the red colors from the Japanese maples and all the other varieties that we buy from other nurseries and stuff and that we raise in our ground. And like in Japanese maples, of course, there are thousands of varieties to choose from. And in the large shade tree types, there are hundreds of varieties that will grow in our area. So there's a real big selection if you're looking for a nice tree that has some color in the spring, throughout the summer, and then wild color in the fall. That's what we try to do when we're buying trees. Let's try this one. Let's try that one. And we do our research and see what's available and go from there. But maples in general are very hardy, and they do well. They just grow about any place here in Douglas County.
The ones in my daughter's yard are still growing great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't, if the only thing you can do is plant them in black mud and overwater them, and then they croak. But if you do anything halfway decent when you're planting a tree, any tree, it's going to grow for you. And that's the emphasis I put on, we have folks that come in and have never planted a tree. They got a brand new house, maybe a young couple, and they're going to get a couple of shade trees or whatever. And I go through the spiel about the oversized digging and the good soil and don't overwater, blah, 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 blah. And they get it. And they'll come back the following spring or the following summer and say, hey, my tree's doing good.
Nice.
Whatever you told me worked. And I said, okay, stick with it. Stick with it.
Don't change anything.
Don't change anything. But, as the tree gets older, it even needs less care, less water.
Nice.
I mean, less hose watering or, sprinkler watering because the roots are developing and they're going down into the ground and following the soil moisture down, and that's what makes the roots go down, et cetera. Now, some trees are shallow rooted and they love to stay on the top, where they're kind of. But maples in general, like I say, they're very hardy, and they'll grow any place with maybe the exception of a desert. And I think there are some maples. I was doing research on this, and they mentioned a maple that actually thrives in the desert, but I just read the top line.
Yeah,
I don't even want to talk about that. So, but
maybe even in China.
But if you can grow them in the deserts, they probably have to have ample water from somebody's yard or somebody's.
You would
home.
Think.
Yeah, you would hope.
Yeah.
But cold weather doesn't hurt them either. I mean, maples are that tough all the way around. In our area, we have a native maple. It's not really a tree. It is a tree as it gets older, but vine maple, people think of vine maple as a shrub. And when it starts out, it looks shrubby, and it has multiple stems and all that. But I've seen them up the North Umpqua where they have a single stem and the tree is maybe 20 feet tall.
Is that right?
Vine maple.
Wow.
Yeah, you go up around Tokadee. From Steamboat on up, you start to see different varieties. I don't know if they're still alive now after the fires, but, when you used to drive up the highway, you could see them, and you'd see these large rhododendrons and, all kinds of stuff. So they can make a beautiful tree, especially in the right area. And if you prune them into a single stem tree, they can get up to 30 feet tall.
Nice.
Now, I've seen them about 20 feet tall, and I couldn't figure out what is that. That looks like a vine maple, I'm thinking, but look how big it is. it's not supposed to get that big. Well, I learned it can get.
It can.
Yeah, it can go in under the right conditions. And, vine maples, for instance, they lend themselves to Japanese gardens or just a wild hedge across the backyard for privacy, something like that.
Yeah.
But in the fall, the leaves have multiple colors. And this is what my point of this today is. you know, the spring is colorful, et cetera, and then you got the summer with everything green, blah, blah, blah. Nobody's paying any attention because they're going swimming or something or on vacation. But then the fall comes along, and then as you drive around Roseburg or out the outskirts of Roseburg in the hills, things like that, it's amazing how many different colors are available, you know, just right there along the road as you're driving around. And you can't help but notice this stuff.
No, you can't.
No. And you'll see... you'll see the orange, yellow, scarlet, red, all that stuff, and it's you know, it's just a real nice colorful fall. I guess I don't know what else to say. And I think the summer, and this is my own thought process. I haven't read anything or done any research on this, but after the severe summer heat that we've had, and you know, the trees that still kept their leaves, I think when it finally cooled off and started to rain, they kind of relaxed, if you will, and went into their fall pattern, because it is a very colorful fall this year. And had that heat, you know, continued all the way through now, the leaves would have just been dried up and curled and crinkled and fallen to the ground. Ugly, without color, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that little bit of rain saved us from that kind of thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, amen to that. But now, if you want a large shade tree, maple with fall color, and there are many, many to choose from. One that's good, it's colorful almost all year, Crimson King Maple. It's like a medium size to about maybe 40 feet tall and 40 years or so.
That sounds good enough to eat.
Oh, yeah, it is. The bark's hard to chew, though.
That would be. Yeah. That's why I'm missing a tooth.
You ate a tree? But the new growth in the spring is a deep crimson color. The leaf is deep crimson, a kind of a purplish thing. And then in the fall, when the fall pattern hits, those leaves turn to a kind of a muted orange color, from deep scarlet burgundy to a kind of an orange, maybe a little bit of red, but kind of yellowish orange. And I've got a couple there at the nursery, and I go, look at that thing. It's beautiful. It's just so different. And I got one at home that's about 40 feet tall. I planted 100 years ago. And it's absolutely beautiful. And all during the growing season, it's that deep burgundy, purplish color. Mm-hmm. That's what it's normally. And bing, it changes. Really,
amazing.
Yeah, really. Another maple is a Autumn Fantasy. That's one of my favorites. I got lots of favorites, but this is one of them. It's a very fast grower. It grows. And if you want instant shade, you put a 6 foot or an 8 footer in your yard, and in 2 years, it's 15, 20 feet.
Wow.
You know, well, maybe not 20, but 15 for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that's how fast. It'll grow 4 or 5 feet in a year if under the right set of conditions.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I grew one that way. But it can get 60 feet tall, 40 feet wide. And if you got a normal size yard, you only need one or two of these in your yard.
Yeah, I was thinking you don't need a whole lot.
Your yard an entire shade. But in the fall, the leaves are a very extreme red color. It goes from a green tree to a boom, deep red. Just gorgeous.
Deep red.
Yeah, and really, really pretty. We got a hand on the trigger there.
We have a break.
Okay.
All right. More maple talk on the way.
Yep, more maple talk. Lots of talk.
News Radio 1240 KQEN. And the lines are open for you to call in as well.
Yeah. 673-4464.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we have a call waiting here. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello, you guys.
Hello.
I have a question about Japanese maples.
Sure.
And I have probably about, well, there's six of them, but five of them were pruned, I feel, incorrectly. So they sprouted out all these branches, and a lot of them just hung straight down. I mean, it looked really pretty, like a weeping willow, but now it's kind of out of control. And I would say five of them are touching the house and laying over it, kind not drastically, but enough that it worries me. And so when it rains, of course, they get heavy and then they lay on the house. And then the wind comes up like it did this, you know, this weekend. It was kind of scary, thinking they were going to fall over. So I want to know if I should get somebody out here just to trim those away from the house until I can properly prune it.
Well, yeah. How long have they been in?
One of them probably 20 years and the others probably, you know, 15, 12, 17. We planted them here and there, different times.
Now, did you prune these yourself or did somebody else do it?
Well, that's we had somebody else do it, and I feel like it wasn't done right. I feel like they just come out and hack them up like they do all the trees, and then you know what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
And I would like to get an arborist out here to delicately trim all the branches, but I know that would cost me a fortune, so I'm not going to be able to do that.
Well, not necessarily a fortune. You get an estimate first, and if you think it's a fortune, then you say no. But if it's within your budget, go ahead and get her done. Because what's going to happen is if you leave the branches on there, it will just increase your problem. And if it needs to be shaped up, it needs to be shaped up. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so would you suggest having that done now, even though it's not time to prune it?
Well, you could do it now. It wouldn't hurt them, but I would wait another month. That way all the leaves, are there any leaves still on it?
Oh, yeah. Most of them are. We have, you know, they're different varieties. So some are really bright yellow. Some are other colors. And then one is kind of a, like you were talking about, kind of a crunchy, it's already getting crunchy leaves, although beautiful when it blooms. So anyway.
Well, you know, wait another month and you can call our nursery and I can come out, take a look at them and see what your problem is.
Okay, real good. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was interesting.
I was trying to envision what the trees looked like when she was describing it, and you know, and the thing is, if you really don't know how to prune, especially like a Japanese maple, because it's kind of a, you know, it's a rare tree and it's an exotic tree, it's a beautiful tree, and there are tall ones, there are short ones, there are the dwarfs, and there are some that get 20 feet tall, and from time to time, you need to do a pretty good heavy pruning. But then once you do the heavy pruning, after that, you do the lighter pruning. I've got one off my front porch. It's maybe 12 to 15 feet, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And about every other year or so, every third year, I might prune it heavily. And then in between years, I just kind of, it has the younger branches to go straight up. Yeah. And I'll prune them like three quarters of the way down. Mm-hmm. And then the following spring, it's very full and very lush. And the hummingbirds love it because it's right near the hummingbird feeders.
Oh, yeah.
And they all sit in the Japanese maple. And then when my wife puts the hummingbird feeders out there, they right there.
Attack.
And they make nests in there and everything else. So it gives them protection, gives us a little bit of color and shade on the front porch, and you know, and the hummingbirds love it. So,
and you get to see little hummingbirds.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, you know, I was with a lady the other day, and we were talking about the hummingbirds, and she had a hummingbird feeder out there, and I said, yeah, how many are you getting? Blah blah blah, conversation, and she's, you know, one day I was out there looking at the hummingbird feeder, and this baby hummingbird came up. And came right up to my glasses and looked at me. And she said, you know how small hummingbirds are.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this was half the size of an adult hummingbird. So she says, it must have been a baby because it was so little. But the beak was long. The beak was long, even on the little one. And it came right up to her and hoovered right in front of her glasses. She just looked at it.
I've never seen a little baby hummingbird.
I never have either. not a fresh one, you know, yeah. not right out of the egg or something like that. But
God, they must be awfully small.
Yeah, and the eggs, I've never seen a hummingbird egg either, so I don't know what they look like.
No. I bet you can't even see him.
Maybe as big as a marble. I don't know. Maybe not even that big. Maybe as big as a BB.
Wouldn't know it if you saw one.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, I've been talking about color and fall color and how blessed we are here in Douglas County to have all the color that we have. And another tree in the maple family. And I just planted one for a lady yesterday or day before yesterday, I'm not sure. I lose track of my life.
No, it's easy to do.
Yeah, but this one is called Autumn Blaze, and it's just—it's really a great, great, colorful maple. They're kind of a not a tight crown, but they're not spreading, and they're kind of in the middle. But it's really a pretty tree, and when the leaves change color, it is a deep bright red. It looks artificial. I mean, it is, and it's very dense. So it has a lot of leaves on it, and has, like I say, the more of an upright crown rather than a spreading crown. And then the leaves, they kind of come out orangish, and then they turn a little bit redder and redder and redder until they're just this vibrant, vibrant red color. I mean, it's like, whoa, look at this, man. And they're a nice maple. They make a nice shade tree. They don't get real giant. They're not like our big leaf maples around here or anything like that. But it's a good small yard tree. If you have a small yard, you want one tree. You want something that's going to look good and be colorful for you.
And not take up your whole yard.
Not take up your whole yard. Autumn Blaze would be a good choice. On the other, on the flip side of that, there's one called October Glory, and and it's like the last maple of all the maples to finally turn color in the late fall. You know, you can see all these other maples, they're turning color, they're reds, they're yellows, the October Glory is not even, you're thinking, what's wrong? It's way behind. Well, it's the last one to finally, whatever the weather dictates, maybe if it got a good cold snap or something like that, that would quicken it up. But it is beautiful, and it grows fairly tall, and it's more of a rounded type crown, so it spreads out. But it is beautiful. Just lots of orange and red in that one as well.
Nice.
And the last one on the maple list here, I think. No, maybe I've got some others here. The sugar maple.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's native to the eastern United States, up, Vermont, New Hampshire, those places. They make maple syrup. That's where it comes from.
That's probably why I've heard of it.
Yeah. When you got your pancakes and you looked at the bottle and says, oh, from Vermont, huh?
Yeah.
But the sugar maple, it's the source of the maple sugar, which is turned into maple syrup. And there's a process to that I don't know much about. But it grows well in our area, and in cold winter areas has really a wild color. Just knock your socks off type colors. But these are just a few examples of colorful trees and colorful maples in our area. When I was doing my research, I probably just in regular, not Japanese maples, but just regular shade tree type maples, there were in excess of 50 trees that I could have written about.
Jeez.
And some we don't have here. Yeah. When we have trees, maple trees in our nursery, we try to get about at least, not counting Japanese maples, but at least, five different varieties so people can choose and see and see the different growth habit and the colors and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bright yellow ones that you see all over the hills that are, those are our big leaf maples. We usually don't sell them in the nursery, because they're native. You can go out there and somewhere and dig up one, a small one, and they're tough. They just grow. They don't need any help. They don't need anything. But they're the bright yellow ones. So you envision, let's say you have a fairly large large backyard and you have a yellow maple and one that's orange and one that's red and then one that's kind of burgundy. I mean, makes for a very colorful fall. Yeah.
Living color.
Living color. There it is, baby. You don't have to do. But again, I say, take a ride. Go look at Douglas County. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we got a really nice county. It's beautiful. If you get out there and take a look at it, there's a lot of beauty here. And but you need to get out and not just go to work, come back, go to work, come back.
That's me usually.
Well, I know. That's all of us. I mean, I'm driving all over the place, but I'm working as I'm driving.
Right.
But I'm going to Mrs. Jones' house or Mr. Smith's house or wherever. And some of them might live out in Glide, and some of them live, up North Bank Road or some in South County. So I'm seeing all this stuff as I'm driving to a different client's house. And so, you know, and just enjoying it. Now, another tree, it's sort of like a maple, but it's a sweet gum. And now sweet gums. Yeah, they are a very multiple color. They've got yellow, red, and orange all in the same leaf in the same time. Mm. And they keep their leaves forever, it seems. And they don't even drop them till January.
There's no raking until January.
No rake. Everything's all raked up. Everything's clean. Then the sweet gums start dropping all their leaves, you know.
I don't think my dad would have had one of those.
No, your dad wouldn't have gone for that one at all. He would have cut it down, I'm sure.
Yes.
But it has a maple look to it, in the leaves at least. And like I said, they're when they color up, there's yellow and orange and red and burgundy all in the same leaf.
Nice.
You know, it's a real, wow, look at that. What's wrong with that tree? It's on fire, man. But they are the most colorful of all of those. And like I said, they'll hold their leaves until December or January. Easy. Unless a big, strong wind comes and knocks. Changes their plan. But sweet gums are not fast-growing trees. They're kind of a moderate grower, usually about maybe, you know, in good conditions, about 2 feet a year on average. But they do look like a maple in some respects. And if you were not in the tree business and you go, wow, that's a pretty maple tree. Well, it looks like it, but it's not, trust me. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of pyramidal in shape. In other words, they're broad at the bottom where the first branches are. And as they go up, they taper almost to a point.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And eventually an older one will kind of spread out, but like in the first 20, 30 years, they're more pyramidal in shape. So you think, well, why'd you prune your tree that way? Well, you didn't have to. It just grew
just
that way.
It just does it. That's my kind of tree.
Yeah, see, it's easy. And they're very easy to grow. They don't need anything. You plant them in the ground, you water them once or twice, and just stand back, and they go, yeah, thank you. We're good to go.
We're done.
We're done. You know, and again, that's any of these things I'm talking about are very resilient. They're tough. They can survive a lot of adverse conditions and dry ground and all that. And, you know, the first year or two, yeah, you're taking care of them. But after 2 years, after the first year, the second year, you're doing less to the, you know, less water.
They're pretty much on their own.
They're pretty much on their own, exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, like on the big leaf maples that you see grown in clear cuts and hills and everything else, mm-hmm. nobody takes care of them. If they get rain, good. And when their leaves drop and they stay at the bottom, they eventually disintegrate and turn into some kind of a food. And that's how they get fertilized. And they grow. I mean, they just grow. I've got some at my place up on my hill. Oh, they're 4 feet in diameter, for crying out loud. They're huge. We got a call?
No, we have a break.
We got a break. Okay, I'll be back. Trust me.
Absolutely. More of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show and you on the phone, 673-4464, right here at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
No dinner for you.
That's right.
We are back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
And if you have a question, 673-4464, and I'm talking about the fall color and the types of trees that give us the most vibrant colors you could ever imagine. So
there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. I've researched about 10 of them here, but there's thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands of varieties. Some don't even grow here, so no sense of talking about
them. No, we don't want to hear about it.
No, if you don't grow here, forget it. Yeah. But I was talking about sweet gum in the last segment, and like I said, they grow tall, they're easy to grow. They don't need anything, just a little bit of water in the summer for the first few years, but here's the thing. Don't plant them near a sidewalk or a driveway because their root systems are more of a surface rooter.
Mm.
And I've seen where they were, within a few feet of a side, say 4 feet of a sidewalk, and they look good there, except then as they age, those roots, some of those bigger roots come and they get into the sidewalk, crack the sidewalk.
That's why there's big humps and cracks.
Or tear up the driveway.
Yeah,
yeah exactly. Yeah. So if you want one, put it out in the backyard where it's not going to hurt anything or some front corner of the front yard that's not near a structure or a driveway or a sidewalk, and they'll be good. But they don't make a great lawn tree either because of their root growth. Because after a while, and we're experiencing this with some of the trees down in one of the retirement homes we take care of in Myrtle Creek, their roots, we're talking about taking the trees out now because their roots are just into the lawn and you go mowing the lawns and hit a root and it has a detrimental effect on the blades.
Yes, it does. And besides the lawn guy mowing it.
And the lawn, it doesn't look
good. It doesn't
work. Doesn't look good, man.
Nah.
But these guys, like I said, they can grow 60 feet tall. But but the best part of them is they're a tough tree, and you can't beat the color. I mean, they're a large yard tree, or they're a tree that if you had, 3 acres of frontage along some road, and you planted a row of them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, as you go to Glide, right before you get to the Glide dump or the Glide, whatever it's called,
disposal.
There's a as you're headed out there, about a quarter to a half a mile this side of where you turn off to the dump, there's a driveway with two rows of sweet gum on either side of it. They're absolutely outrageously gorgeous.
Wow.
The problem was, and they bought them from me maybe 20 years ago. I remember the people. And they said, we want to put them on both sides of our driveway. And they did. And now they've grown so much, they look like they're a little too close to the driveway because the limbs grow sideways. So they've been having to prune some of the inner limbs so they get their rig down the driveway. Yeah. Because the driveway isn't all that wide. It's like a one lane driveway.
Right.
It's a ranch house. So just be aware that these trees can grow, and and all of a sudden you go, well, it's such a small tree. It's not you're wrong. In 20 years, it's going to be a large tree. So,
are they cutting it down or no?
No, they're not cutting it down. They're just pruning them back a little bit, and they're beautiful. They look. You can spot them from a mile away. You can see this. All these red burgundy trees down there. What the heck is that?
Nice.
It's sweet gum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drive out there. Take a look.
Why do they call them sweet gum? Is there gum in them or something?
I don't know. I wondered that myself, and I was doing the research, reading about them and the origins and blah, 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 blah. And maybe back a long time ago, there was some kind of heavy resin or something that... Maybe it was sweet. Maybe they chewed it.
Chewed
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it got them. Well, never mind.
Never mind. This is a family show. So anyway, but for fall color, they can't be beat. So
no.
Go for it. Okay, oaks. Oaks are, the oaks we got around here, California black oak and the Oregon white oak, they don't give us much color at all.
Oh.
They're beautiful trees, but when fall comes around, they just kind of turn brown or yellow and then brown, and then the leaves fall off and go over the driveway and the lawn. But they're native to Oregon, that's good. And they're beautiful as a green shade tree and a good climbing tree if you're a kid, good for a tree house. But the fall color really stinks. It's just nothing there, unless you like brown. If you like brown, then it's a beautiful tree.
It's a tree for you.
That's a tree for you. But there are a lot of other oaks that will grow here that have brilliant fall color. For instance, the northern red oak. It's native to eastern North America, like the East Coast, say from New York on up into New England, in that country.
Yeah.
It grows wild back there, like our oaks grow wild here. And it grows well here because I sell them here, and I've got one at my house, in fact, that's just beautiful burgundy red. And they can get like 75 feet tall, but not very quickly. And the new leaves, when they first come out, mm-hmm. they'll have a reddish tinge or yellow in the spring. Mm. And you go, wow, that's good. And then as spring comes on like gangbusters, as the leaves get larger, then mm-hmm. they turn to green.
Green?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you think, oh, okay, what happened to my colorful leaves? Well, they turn green, dark green. Mm. And the longer the summer, the darker green the leaves get. But then in the fall, they turn dark red or orange.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, red, red. And they hang on for quite a long time.
Hmm.
And they're a good tree. They'll do well in a yard. You don't want them near a sidewalk again or anything like that. You want to have a yard that can handle that tree. And that's mm-hmm. really important. If I'm at the nursery and I'm waiting on a client, and they're looking at trees for shade, and I always go, well, how big is your yard? And they said, oh, it's about, 40 feet wide and 40 feet long. And I said, well, and you have anything else there? Well, we got this, this, and this. I said, this tree is going to be too big someday for that yard, mm. and it's going to have to either be removed or it'll fall down or whatever.
And they don't really want to hear that.
No, they don't, because the tree is beautiful. But then I can give them, a substitute. This tree over here is similar. It won't grow as much and or as fast or mm-hmm. as tall or get as wide. And it's a good tree and has good color in the fall. And, most people go with my suggestion. But you need for these oaks I'm talking about today, you need a pretty good-sized yard. The normal subdivisions that they're building now don't have the yards that can handle mm. Too many of these trees.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them can, but then I see some of them, the front yard is like, 40 feet long, 20 feet wide, and there's no room for a big tree.
Kind of like a camping spot.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I mean, if they could put a big tree in there, that'd be fine, but in years to come, it'd be hoovering over the roof and could,
sure.
do damage to the roof, or you need a tree service with a crane to come in and prune it, that kind of thing.
And a pain in the neck.
Yeah, and so I just try to show people, and if I have some photos or something,
mm-hmm.
I can show them this is what a mature tree looks like, and then they can envision that in their front yard, which is too small for that type of tree, and say, okay, well, show me something smaller.
We get it.
We get it. We understand. Thank you for telling us. That's why I don't want it to, disappoint you. But these red oaks that I'm speaking about, they also produce a lot of acorns. So if you need to feed the squirrels, they got plenty of food there. And these guys will grow well in a lawn. For whatever reason, I don't know, because most oaks don't. Mm. They use them in parks and mm-hmm. as street trees too. And because that root system is not as invasive, mm-hmm. like the maples, for instance. These roots grow deep, and their highlight, of course, is their fall color. But they're a nice tree. They're a sturdy tree. They're mm-hmm. they're a hardy tree. They're no problem tree. That's
nice.
That's what you want. That's
yes.
what we try to. That's what we try to focus on when we're buying trees for the nursery, or if I'm raising them out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a tree that's going to be a pain in the neck to me or to the client that's going to get them.
Right.
Yeah. Do we have a break?
We do. Our final break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
More of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on a Wednesday here in the Valley. Still sunny, I think. can't tell. But anyway.
Why don't you have the skylight in there?
Well, I'll put that in for the next request.
Good, thank you.
News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, 4:52. We're back with the final few minutes of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and lines are open.
Yeah, 673-4464 if you have a question. Make it quick, though. Okay, I'm talking about shade trees. Yeah, and they're shade trees.
Yeah, they're just, yeah.
I'm talking about trees that really have magnificent color in the fall. And if you want something really cool, you'll like it.
Guess you really don't need a shade tree in the fall.
No,
well,
I know,
not so
but
much,
I'm talking about color in the fall.
I know.
Color. Well, you know, who knows? Maybe you're from Alaska and you need a shade tree in the fall. Who knows? But pin oaks, that's another one that grows well here, fairly rapid to like 50, 80 feet tall.
Wow.
And in the fall, the leaves turn yellow, then red, and then finally brown. And then they hang on the tree all winter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they don't fall off till about April.
Nice.
Or March.
March.
When the new buds are pushing, mm-hmm. That's when the pin oak falls.
They give it up.
Yeah, they give it up. It's like they're brown all the time. And I think, what the heck? And then, boom, March or so, they're all falling because the new growth is coming.
Starting all over again.
Yeah. You know, there are, as I was doing my research, I find out that there's more than 600 species of oak trees in the world.
Good heavens.
And, but I'm not going to talk about them on today's show. I'll save that for a different show.
Okay.
All right. One of the prettiest trees in the fall is the dogwood. Our native dogwood is called the Pacific dogwood, and it grows well all over Oregon, except maybe for the desert, with nobody's help at all. It just does fine. It grows in clear cuts. It grows in the deep forest. You drive up the North Umpqua or some other road up there, you'll see them in their fall color, and they'll start out yellow and then get pink and then deep red on the leaf color. You'll find them in the deep shaded forest or sitting in a clear cut. Very versatile tree. I mean, it hates watering, it hates fertilizing, and it doesn't like pruning.
I don't think loggers like them either.
No, I don't think they do because they're in the way, so they just cut them down.
Cut them down.
And if you plant one in your yard, make sure it has excellent drainage. Never plant it in a lawn, and don't mess with it. Just enjoy it and let it grow. There's a whole lot of other varieties of dogwood that you can buy in a nursery, and all have good fall color. But I was going to save this last part. I only got a few minutes here. On my property where I live, I got very steep hills, and and on one hillside, it's kind of a severe, very steep west slope. It gets the sun all day long, and it's absolutely full sun. And then I've got one grove of dogwood, white flowering dogwood, that are probably five or six of them that I can count. They're very large, like 40 feet tall.
Wow.
And when they're blooming, they're covered. They look like clouds up there against all the dug fir and stuff. Mm. And they're doing just fine. 40 feet tall on a west slope that gets full sun,
mm-hmm.
growing without water, without fertilizer, without pruning, without any of that stuff.
The strong will survive.
That's how tough these dudes are. And then, you know, the spring, of course, they bloom in the spring, and then now they're turning orange and red in the fall, you know.
Wow.
And I run my dog up that hill every night. So, and it's really cool. Now,
yeah.
The contrast to that, mm-hmm. you go down the hill, down below, and it's mostly Douglas fir forest in there, and it's very shady. And there's at least 40 white dogwoods in there mixed in with
within the
shady dark forest.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, and they're slow growing to about 15 feet. You know, there might be one that's 20. And, of course, they bloom in the spring, and now they got their red leaves on, too.
Nice.
So one site is in full sun and dry and hot. The other side, the other ones are in full shade and damp and cool, and the only difference is in size.
Huh.
You know?
Wow.
So
that's
obviously
amazing.
The one in the shade gets a little bit more moisture because that's kind of on a north slope.
Right.
But it's like, oh, gosh, it's probably 500 feet from the other ones, 600 feet from the other ones.
Not far.
Yeah, not far at all. Same property, two different sites, one hot and dry, one cool and shady.
Different climates, but yet similar.
Right. Similar, and they're both growing. And it's interesting to see, because they're all doing great. I mean, they're looking good. I mean, and it's just, they're tough. So when somebody buys a dogwood from me, and they come back in 2 months, say the dogwood was no good, it died. I say, excuse me. How often did, innocently, I'll say, well, how often did you water it?
Yeah.
Oh, once a week. I said, well, I think we told you not to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it needed it. It was warm. It got up to 70 degrees. And, yeah, but the ground is still wet, where the roots are still wet. And, give them another lesson and and how not to kill a perfectly good tree.
right.
But most folks, it's not their fault simply because...
They don't know.
They don't know, and they don't teach that stuff in school anymore.
No, they don't.
And, not many of us are in the nursery business growing things. And so consequently, how are they supposed to know? So I always suggest to people, hey, get a book on trees. The box stores have lots of gardening type books and tree books and stuff like that with full color pages and how to plant them, how to prune them, how to fertilize them, when to do it, how big they're going to get, and it'll give you a story and tell you just basically what I'm telling you right now, what I've told you for the last umpty-ump years in this show, is, you don't have to mess with them. You don't have to, if you do the initial part correctly, the soil, the drainage, et cetera, and plant them, it's amazing how well they'll do. Like my Japanese maples I talk about. They are so red. Some of them are so red, and they're surrounding, and they're kind of up on the edge of the Douglas fir and stuff. But I never water them.
Never.
And after the first year, maybe the second year, I never have watered them. And some of them are, 15 feet tall and 15 feet wide and just really super duper. Is that it?
That's it.
I'm done?
You're done.
Doggone it. I had another hour. Thank you for listening and thank you for coming to our sale, and I hope you enjoy everything.
And where are you located in Winston, Mike?
Oh, in Winston. I'm a half mile south of Winston on the left-hand side of the road. Look for the big green roofs and Wintergreen Nursery. You can't miss us.
There you go. See you next time.
Yes, sir.